Back on Downtown on a Thursday afternoon, it is time for us to talk a little Patriots football as we get ready for a little Saturday action this week. To join us, we check in with Christopher Price of the Boston Globe on the road this afternoon. Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Rich. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, always a pleasure to talk with you, but especially after you've seen things that, well, the world needs to know about, like Buffalo in the dead of winter.
Yeah, it was quite something. Not quite like what it is up there in God's country on a regular basis, but Western New York in December is not for the faint of heart. Let's just put it that way.
Well, it has been such an interesting season for the Patriots, finding different ways to lose games, and yet certainly some cause for optimism for the future, and a lot of that centers around the play of Drake May, who just continues to impress even in trying circumstances.
Yeah, I think it's important to know that as bad as this year has gone from a wins and losses perspective for the Patriots, that you have the most important piece of the puzzle in place in Drake May. There is real reason for optimism because, and we've discussed this before, that's the most important part, that you need to be able to find the quarterback. And it's quite clear that they have found their guy. Now it's just a matter of filling in around him moving forward. And that's one of the things that I know we're going to talk about this, but that's one of the most important things for this team going into this offseason, figuring out a plan both in free agency and the draft and the trade market as well, how to best set up the team for success around the young star quarterback. So, yeah, again, there's reason for optimism moving forward, but it's about being able to execute now in the offseason that is going to be the most important thing for this.
What has impressed you most about May? Is it what he's done on the field or just the way he's handled himself?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think there have been a number of times this year, Rich, where he really could have kind of stuck his foot in his mouth and said the wrong thing or kind of said something that might have been perceived the wrong way. But I think he's done a very good job. We've discussed this on a number of times in previous years before, where that's a really difficult position to be in, to be a young quarterback, because you're in a natural leadership position, but you also have to be deferential to the veterans around you. And he's done a really good job walking that fine line between being a leader and clearly being in charge of the offense, but also working with veterans like Hunter Henry, like Michael Winyu, guys who've been in the league for an awful long time. I thought it was interesting that when he came to meet the media this week, he did so with Hunter Henry, and the interaction between the two of them was fun. He was talking about playing this guy in Madden, and Hunter was kind of rolling his eyes a little bit as the wise old veteran. So I think ultimately, to answer your question, Rich, I think that's what's impressed me the most, his ability to not only be a leader, but also to be able to work in concert with the veterans around him to be able to take his game to another level.
Well, that's certainly been a positive this year. And on the defensive side of things, the emergence of Christian Gonzalez as a legitimate defensive star.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just talking with cornerbacks coach Mike Pellegrino, and I asked him, look, Christian is not going to toot his own horn. He's not going to be the kind of guy who's going to come out and say that he deserves some kudos, but make a case for me for him to either be the comeback player of the year or to be considered among the defensive players of the year, given where he was at this point last year, obviously, with the injury. And he said, look, just put the tape on. Just watch the tape. Just watch the film. And if you say anything otherwise, you're doing the guy a disservice because he's had a phenomenal year. I went out of my way, Rich, to watch him during that Buffalo game. And look, Keon Coleman is not necessarily among the league's own, but you watch that game and you watch the key moments defensively for the Patriots at other times this year, and the quarterbacks and the wide receivers want absolutely nothing to do with it, really. And I think that's a sign of the growing level of respect that people have for him. And I think he's just going to be able to continue building on it moving forward.
We're talking with Christopher Price of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. Well, let's talk about the game this weekend. The Chargers come to town, bound for the playoffs. Certainly a talented team for the defense of the Patriots. Does it begin with trying to contain Justin Herbert?
Yeah, it really does. I think when you look at this offense, this is not you know, when we were younger and it was, you know, the San Diego Chargers and it was sunny sunshine, you know, passing game, finesse football. This is a tough football team. They run the ball. They do a lot of things that would suggest that they're a very physical football team. But it does. It really starts with Herbert. There's some elements, given the fact that Roman is there, kind of brought the scheme over from Baltimore. There's some elements of kind of the old style of the way the Ravens used to run their offense. But, yeah, Herbert is the guy. It all revolves around him. And being able to slow him on Saturday, finding a way to, you know, don't necessarily have to worry about him breaking contain and kind of getting out of the pocket, but finding a way to keep him contained, slowing that passing game, that's a step in the right direction if you're the New England defense.
And do we know what's up with J.K. Dobbins and whether we'll see him?
Not at this point, no. As we sit here, you know, at this point in the afternoon, we don't know what his game, what his playing status is, but he adds another, you know, another layer for that team and that offense. One of my colleagues just put it, you know, put it very astutely. It's, you add a guy like that, it's just another log in the fire to what they want to do offensively. So, yeah, we don't know his status, at least at this point, but if he's in there, he's going to be another guy to consider for the Patriots.
Chargers have one of the top scoring defenses in the league. What's the big challenge for Drake May and the offense to be successful and get points on the board? This would seem to me to be one of those games where you don't want to fall behind early.
Yeah, you have to keep it manageable in the early going because you have guys like Bosa and Mack off the edge, really, who can make it an awful long afternoon for a guy like May. The one guy who keeps coming up time and again, who is kind of an under-the-radar guy when you talk about the Los Angeles defense, is safety Derwin James. Mm. He is considered, you know, the chief of that secondary, the leader of that secondary. Kendrick Bourne was talking this week of how he's kind of reminded of Buda Baker in Arizona a little bit in terms of his leadership style, the way he runs the defense. Everything goes through him. And if you want to be able to be successful, you have to find a way to, if you're a ball carrier, stay away from him. Or if you're a blocker, you want to get a helmet on it. And so while we can talk about Mack and Bosa and that really impressive pass rush, James seems to be the guy that they're paying an awful lot of attention to this week down in Foxborough.
Do you think we'll see more designed running plays for Drake May?
Yes, I do. We kind of, I don't want to say we teased Alex Van Pelt a little bit about it today because he was so stringent earlier in the season about not wanting to call some designed run plays for the young quarterback. And then in Buffalo, what do you know? He called a couple of designed run plays for the quarterback. So I think it's all about putting him in the best situation possible. You know, if they see a matchup that they like, if they see a situation that they like, they're going to be inclined to call that. I don't necessarily think we're going to see him carry the ball, you know, 10 times or anything, but I think that it's another sign that they are, you know, we talked about optimism before. It's another sign that they're kind of taking the training wheels off a little bit and letting him do some more things and opening up the playbook. So, yes, I do think we're going to see more design runs, but I wouldn't expect him to go all Michael Vick on us on Saturday afternoon.
What's more important for the Patriots going into these last couple of games? Is it continuing to be in the mix for maybe a top five pick next year in the draft? Or is it getting a win and building a little confidence with these young guys?
I'll say getting a win and building the confidence with the understanding that even if they win, they're pretty much locked into, I think the worst they could do at this point is the sixth overall pick. And when you think about the way things might shake out, the positions of need, you know, specifically the offensive tackle spot, you know, you talk about a guy, maybe Kelvin Banks, you're not necessarily going to worry about taking him at number two. You could trade back. I think the important thing for this team is to get some wins or get some positive situations between now and the end of the season where you can go into the offseason with a real sense of optimism about where you are. I also think too, Rich, honestly, they want to be able to go into the offseason with the same number of wins or one more win than they had last year. So they can point to that and say, look, we at the very least showed a steady improvement over the second half of the season. There were some, you know, awful big obstacles on the schedule, awful big speed bumps on the schedule, Arizona and Miami among them. But there is reason for optimism. You go into the offseason, you win a couple of games, you're set up from a salary cap perspective, you have four picks, at least four picks right now in the top 100. But all of that optimism, I think, starts this weekend with a solid performance against the Chargers.
And do you think Jerod Mayo is in pretty secure position for one more season at least?
I think he comes back in 2025. Now, if he starts 2025, say 1-6, then all bets are off. But I think in terms of him being the head coach at the start of the 2025 season, I would feel pretty confident that he's done that. I think that the Patriots would be reticent to make him a one-and-done head coach for a number of reasons, not the least of which the ownership wouldn't be. I don't think it would reflect well on ownership either if
right.
he was just a one-and-done guy. Honestly, that would just reek of Jet-style mismanagement. But I think that he's coming back for the start of the 2025 season. I'll put it that way.
Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Chris, always great to talk with you. Thank you so much for all your contributions to the show throughout the years. We always enjoy the chance to catch up with you.
Rich, it's always been a pleasure talking Patriots with you. It's not only enjoyable. I tell this to a lot of people. Look, it's not only enjoyable because I talk to a lot of people. And the ability to make it fun and informative and insightful and interesting, there are only a handful of people who can do that. And you're one of the guys. And really, for me, it's been an honor. It's been a pleasure to be in the company of some of the guests that you've invited on this show over the years, and I'm very, very excited to see what you have cooking down the road.
Well, we'll be reaching out to you in that Brave New World podcast. I mentioned maybe me in an ice cream truck with a speaker, whatever it takes. We'll reach out to you, Chris.
I love it, Rich. Sounds great. Take care, and we will definitely talk again very, very soon.